Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, November 25th, 2011. Happy Black Friday! I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Chris, Lauren, Bob, and Steve.
Hello.
And... joining us, we have the agent Michelle.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle. Steve.
Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you.
Today's show, we're going to be talking about the not so scary Mickey's not. No,
it's Christmas time.
I know.
I never know what we're talking about.
Wow. On today's show, we'll be talking about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party in the Magic Kingdom. Steve and I have been. We've loved it. The girls have loved it. So many aspects are just so warm and cozy. It's kind of a repeat of last week's show. We were talking about resorts, and I like talking about warm and cozy. But it just makes me feel so in the Christmas spirit when you're walking down Main Street and it snows and all the holiday decorations. It's just wonderful. So Michelle was recently at the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and she's going to give us her update, her thoughts and feelings on the event. Welcome, Michelle.
Hello, thank you. This was actually my second time at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. My first time was in 2008 when my husband proposed at Cinderella's Castle. So aww, that was interesting. So it was fun to go back and kind of experience it in a whole different light, because I was in a little bit of a daze the first time around. A lot of it was still the same. There was some differences, mostly due to locations of things because of the Fantasyland expansion. Some of the character sites had moved and things like that. You could still get in at 4 p.m. We entered right at 4 because we had dinner reservations. We had no problem getting in. We didn't buy park tickets for that day. We just used the hard ticket for that. So that was nice, because that was the day we came in. So we just kind of came in. We had lunch at our resort, got everything unpacked and ready to go, and then headed in for the party at 4. If you're going to do the party, I recommend eating before it actually starts at 7 p.m. because there is a lot to do in a very limited amount of time. So if you really want to get the most bang for your buck, you need to be ready to get in there and hit the ground running. We were absolutely park commandos, which was something different for us. We haven't done that in a long time. So, but it was fun, and I think we really got our use out of it and got to see and do everything that we wanted to do, which was really nice. We had no problem getting our wristbands right at 4 o'clock when we walked in, which was nice. So you didn't have to backtrack all the way to the cast members, you know, different locations at 7 o'clock. You just got your wristband at 4 and you were set for the night. The setup, the way things were laid out was pretty much the same as it was in the past that I remember. There was a lot of character meet and greets. I had done a little digging and found out who was going to be there before. So I was prepared for who we wanted to meet and where we needed to go.
How do you find out ahead of time who's going to be where?
I looked online. I searched a couple different blogs. I compared it to lists in the past of who had been there, who was new. Obviously, Rapunzel and Flynn and all those guys were new. Naveen and Tiana were new since the last time I had been there. So I did some digging online, and then I waited for the other people that had been to the party already, because we didn't go to the 18th, and kind of looked for just feedback on the boards and things like that for who was going to be there, and used the map that I had from previous years. And then I actually got my hands on a map from this year online. I think it was on somebody's blog or on one of the boards, and did my detective work from there. So I was pretty accurate for who was going to be where. We knew what to expect. And then I made notes on my map as well, so I remember for next year and future years. There was a lot of characters. We did wait in line for the Seven Dwarfs, which was about an hour. That was the longest we waited. We've just never met them before. My stepson really wanted to see them. So
I think they're magical when you meet all Seven Dwarfs.
It was really nice. Yeah. And the line didn't feel that bad. We went right at 7 o'clock. And one cast member told us that was the best thing to do. The line was going to be an hour, but it was only going to get worse from there. And another cast member told us that if you go before closing, it's the line is less, but you risk the chance of not meeting them because the characters go away at 11:30. So we decided to not take the chance and just wait it out. And we were glad we did. We got really good photos. PhotoPass was there too, which was really nice because if your camera, you know, comes out dark or something like that, you've got the backup. They had the area lit really well. They were at the Splash Mountain exit, the same place that they were for the Halloween party. But they had extra lighting out there, which I thought was really nice because that's a hard area to get a good picture in.
Now, who all did you go with? Because you mentioned your stepson. So did you go with a couple other people?
Yep, my husband, my stepson, who is 10, my father, and my mother actually came with us. So my dad hates Christmas, and my mom loves Christmas. And my dad hates Disney, and my mom loves Disney. So he said, you better see everything you want to see this time, because I'm not coming back for Christmas again. So she was really excited, and we had a good time.
I mean, now Michelle, you talk about the characters, and I guess, you know, for people that aren't familiar with these parties, isn't it true that, I mean, one of the best things is that a lot of these characters, like the Seven Dwarfs, aren't typically in the parks, right?
Yes, they are very unique characters. There were some, you know, Pluto and Goofy and Chip and Dale are at the dance parties, but it's really nice to see other characters that are really rare. They even had Prince Philip out with Aurora this year in Town Square, which you never see him. Snow White was there with her prince, which was really interesting. And then, of course, they had Mickey and Minnie. But the Seven Dwarfs, they also had another really awesome meet and greet that had Lady Tremaine, Cinderella, Prince Charming, Anne, Drizella, and Anastasia. They were all together for photos.
Wow. Were they
throwing things
at each other? We
didn't end up getting that one, but it was pretty amazing.
Wow.
They're some of the best characters.
They really
are. Because they really get into it.
So much fun. I mean, you could tell they were hamming it up, and everybody was laughing and having a great time.
And don't a lot of the regular characters like Pluto and Goofy dress oftentimes in like holiday outfits?
Yes. Goofy was Santa, I believe, and I'm not sure what Chip and Dale were. They were dressed in some sort of holiday attire. And then we actually did get to meet Belle and Beast. They were over where Rapunzel normally is. And he was in his tuxedo, and she was wearing a holiday outfit, her red dress, which the cast members told us this is the only time the whole year that you'll see her in that outfit. So that was kind of cool, too.
That is neat. Yeah, so, I mean, that alone, I mean, if you're big into characters, sounds like it's worth the price of the specialty, you know, the specialty ticket.
It is. You really have to plan, though. Like my husband and I were talking about it. We're like, they really don't leave you enough time between 7 and midnight, because by the time you get in and get going, the characters are there from like 7 or 7:30 until 11:30. Some of the lines are long. They're all spread out. So you really have to know who your priorities are and divide and conquer. But they do have those couple of dance parties going on. There's one at the Diamond Horseshoe that has Bullseye, Woody, and Jessie. And then the one in Tomorrowland had Goofy, Pluto, and Chip and Dale. So those are fun to pop into if you are kind of bummed out from just waiting in line, or if you have really little kids that can't make the long lines. It's fun to pop in, and they'll stop and let you get photos and things like that. It's not as official of a character meet and greet as the other ones, but it's cute. They dance with the kids, and they, you know, do special stuff with them. So those are another fun option as well.
You mentioned that the night just, you know, gets away from you, and you've got to make your priorities and set them straight. And that's so true, because it seems like 8 hours is enough time to do everything you need to do, and it's not. You find yourself wanting to stay longer, or you have to pick and choose between what you really want to accomplish, and it can be hard.
I think the hardest thing is because there's those couple shows and events that you don't want to miss. Like the fireworks, which there's only one. There's one 9:30 fireworks, and that's it. And the parades are amazing. There's two of those, but they're 8:15 and 10:30. So you really have to schedule your time. You can't be in line at the Splash Mountain exit to meet the Seven Dwarfs while the fireworks are going off, because you're not going to have another chance to see Holiday Wishes.
Right.
So you kind of have to, you know, really map it out and know what you want to do. We had to forego the the Celebrate the Season show, there was three of those. We just kind of saw them in passing because it wasn't that important for us. And there was another small show in Tomorrowland, a totally Tomorrowland Christmas. And we didn't see that either. But we were happy with the decisions we made. So you just have to know that if you want to hit the big things, then you're going to have to sacrifice something somewhere else.
Yeah, and it sounds like if you want to do rides, you really should take advantage of Disney allowing you in at 4 o'clock and, you know, do as many rides as possible, you know, between 4 and 7 so that at 7 o'clock you can, you know, see characters or go to the stage shows.
Do the special
or
stuff.
Do the special
Absolutely.
Stuff, yeah.
I don't think we rode one thing during that 7 to midnight time, and we're big riders. It's hard to tell a 10-year-old boy that he cannot ride Thunder Mountain 15 times in a row.
Because the lines are so decent, too.
We did ride. We rode Thunder Mountain after our stint in line for the Seven Dwarfs, and the lines were so dead. We always asked for the back car that they let us ride twice. We just stayed on, and they let us ride again. They were going to let us go a third time, but my mother was clawing to get out. So, but that was really fun because it does make you feel special. He gets a huge kick out of not having to go through the line again. You know, it's nice, and it does save time. So,
and usually those parties don't sell out. I think the only one that has sold out is the last one on December 18th. That is officially sold out. But even a sellout crowd is, I think, Chris, you had mentioned that they normally limit these events to like 25,000 people.
That's the rumor.
So, I've been to a sold out, not so scary Halloween party, and I don't think it's anywhere near crowds you would see on let's say a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so I agree. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. But you know, I've heard of people saying, well, gosh, I want to see the shows and I want to, you know, meet all the characters or as many as possible and have my photo taken and I want to ride rides and I've got to see the parade and I've got to see the fireworks. So people will talk about sometimes even doing the event twice, you know, while they're down there.
We had talked about that. If we were there for more than a weekend, we would have. That's something that we talked about too, because there's just, you can't be everywhere at once. You can't get every character's autograph. There's just not enough time.
Yeah, and it's amazing because of the rides. I mean, instead of waiting 45 minutes for Thunder Mountain, you could ride 2-3 times in a row. So it's really nice. And when we did the Christmas party, we kind of mixed it up. We did a little bit of the characters, a little bit of, I think we skipped the dance parties, got our cookies and hot chocolate real quick, saw the parade, and did a handful of rides. So we kind of did a little bit of everything.
The parade, Steve, since you mentioned it, typically, the second parade is always less crowded than the first one.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I mean, if you've got other things to see, you know, other characters to meet, or you want to see a dance party or something, you know, wait until the second parade if you can, and you'll find it's probably easier to get a spot.
The second parade was a lot less crowded. The whole party gets a lot less crowded as the night goes on. I think people with the little ones get in at 7, and they don't normally make it past 9 or 10. A lot of them barely made it to the fireworks. There was a lot of sleeping kids in strollers leaving after the fireworks. But another thing about the parade is it does leave from Frontierland. So there's really no reason to crowd around Main Street and fight people for a spot when you can sit outside Pecos Bill or on that little brick wall there or stand somewhere over there where there's plenty of room to see the parade. And then you're out a lot faster, too, because it's right there. So when the last float comes, you can go about your business. If you're on Main Street, you have to wait for the parade to make its way down to Main Street. So it's a lot later in the day. And they do rope off and let people, they kind of like corral everyone that's trying to exit the park because you can't exit around the hub when the parade is coming. So between floats, when there's, those couple dancing characters or the fillers that aren't actually the physical mechanical floats, they'll hurry up and let people exit. So if you're trying to leave during that second parade, you need to be aware of that, too. You might get stuck in a corral waiting. So you can't, don't just assume that you can walk out the gate whenever you feel like it at 10:30 because there's parade crossing and safety issues.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good tip for people to maybe consider seeing the parade in Frontierland. I think people, especially if they're going to the first parade, they think, well, I have to see it on Main Street because I want to catch the fireworks afterwards. And so they just sit there the entire time. Yeah. And that eats up a huge chunk of, you know, party time.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And it's a very good parade. My dad even liked the parade, and he couldn't care less. He was like, that was worth it. Like, to him, between the fireworks and the parade, that was worth the admission for him. And he actually, like, enjoyed it and didn't just endure it.
So how is, because it's been a few years since I've been to the Christmas party, how is Holiday Wishes different from regular Wishes?
They vamp it up a little bit. I mean, it's kind of the same volume of fireworks, like the other special events, the Halloween party. It's themed. They have images of the Nutcracker, the soldiers, the wooden soldiers that they do on the castle. So they do very seasonal things with the technology that they've been using for Wishes. The colors are a little bit different. I think there was a lot more reds and greens, things like that, more holiday colors.
Okay.
More
holiday
value.
Music, I would have
it
done.
Did, yeah, holiday music, but it did feel more, it had some va-va-voom to it that the regular Wishes doesn't. So I don't really know how to explain it other than that, but it is different, and it is definitely worth seeing.
Neat. Okay. Cool. And then, of course, my favorite part is the free hot chocolate and cookies.
Of course.
Well, you know, I mean,
you feel know. Like it's free.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch, I realize. But, I mean, hey, if I'm going to pay $60 to get in, I'm going to have my free cookies.
I think that was our dinner. That was our dinner, I think,
last year.
It really was. Because we get so excited, and you're just like, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's like 9 o'clock. We got to keep going. And then you don't even want to stop to eat. So you, like, grab, like, 10 of those cookies and wolf down some of that hot chocolate, and you just keep going.
You know what I remember fondly is the singing, the Dapper Dans. They were awesome.
They came out
usual.
Right before we left. Like, just surprised. We watched the parade from Main Street, which we never do. We were right in the hub. And they came out after the parade had gone back into, you know, their little hub. And that was so amazing. We must have stood there for 15 or 20 minutes and just listened to them. It was so Christmassy and just special and relaxing. It was a really nice thing.
Yeah. I saw them actually on Saturday. I mean, not during the Halloween Christmas party, but just, you know, they were out for the holidays in the park last Saturday. And they are incredible. It's hard to believe they're, you know, a cappella, because it sounds like, you know, they're singing along to music, but they're not. It's very entertaining, and I think people just tend to walk by them and not really take notice, and that's, you know, you really should stop and admire them, you know, because they're very, very talented.
Yeah, they really are.
Oh, I you know, in years past, one of the big issues has been people who haven't paid for the party, you know, staying in the park and kind of getting on rides or clogging up, you know, counter service places and things. I know you get a wristband, you know, when you get in showing that you're a party goer. What were your impressions? I mean, were they pretty good about making sure everybody had a wristband and, you know, keeping people out of shops and stuff?
They really were. We weren't on many rides, so we didn't encounter that as much as we usually do with extra magical hours or things like that. But the park was not crowded, and there were cast members everywhere. And there were some just wandering around on the streets, which you normally don't see. And you know that they were looking for wristbands. So we were wearing short sleeves, so ours were very visible. But I think for people with longer sleeves or sweatshirts, they were having to push them up and show their band. I don't think that there was very many people, if any, that snuck through.
I think they're really good about it. I know that last year we walked into one of the quick service places, and it was just a few minutes before 7, and they asked for our wristbands. Mm-hmm. And on all of the rides, they would ask probably until about 9 o'clock, and then they stop asking.
Hmm. So are you saying that if you can make it till 9 o'clock, you're safe?
You know what? You could probably hide out in a bathroom. No. I mean, in all – I haven't – we go every year. And I don't think we're going to go this year, but we've gone every year. And my impression is they ask for the first couple of hours of the party, then they stop asking. So,
well, I think they've done a better job. I mean, just based on the Halloween party, that I went to of asking. I mean, it looked like they were asking everybody. They were actually, they wouldn't let people shop in the stores, you know,
right,
because there's exclusive party merchandise, and they wouldn't let them do that. They wouldn't let them order counter service. So, yeah, they've definitely improved upon that, because a few years earlier, it was kind of like anything goes, you know.
In theory, you could be, you know, you could walk into the shops at 6:45 and stay in for a while and actually buy that merchandise, because they're not asking once you're in the shops. But as far as entering them at around 7 o'clock, they won't let you in.
Wow.
So, and it can be kind of stressful, because you hear about people saying, oh, you know, I had a reservation at Cinderella's Royal Table at 7:30 and I didn't have a party ticket. So not only could I not get into the park, but I got charged. So you have to be careful. When you make a reservation, the cast member should tell you that there's a party that night and that you'll need a ticket to get in, but they don't always tell you. So if you're traveling any time between November and December, make sure you know if there's a party there or not.
Same for Not So Scary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tricky time. You have to pay attention.
Actually, yeah, that actually is a very, 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 very good tip, especially now with their cancellation policy on so many restaurants. That could be a very nasty surprise on your bill.
Yeah, that could ruin your evening pretty well.
But one thing I wonder, and I know, I guess Steve and Lisa can address this. What about younger kids? I know that we haven't brought the twins yet. They're four. We've never brought them to the parties. And I don't know that I think it's that good of a deal, you know, as far as kids who maybe go to bed at 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I don't know if I'd spend the money.
Yeah, I think with little ones, sometimes it's a little harder.
Well, when we go, we don't go to the park for that day, so we have
like a
resort day, so we take it easy, and then we get to the park. We try to get there right about 4 o'clock, and they've already had a nap and they've been rested and they're good to go. So from 4 o'clock till midnight, and then right at midnight they're pretty much out. Right, like the second it hits midnight, I'm carrying Amber out. But
like Cinderella.
Yeah, she was
turned into a pumpkin.
It was 5 o'clock, or she was 5 last year, and when she got on Main Street and saw the snow, she was so excited because it was like snowing and all the Christmas lights. And it only took her, but then about 5 minutes later, she figured out it wasn't real snow. But
yeah,
for about 5 minutes, she was like, "Oh my gosh, it's snowing!" And then we went.
That's pretty good for figuring it out. I don't think my oldest one figured it out last year. Poor little guy.
Are you doing it this year, Chris?
I don't know.
We might do it Sunday night.
But I can't see going to a park and then going to that and expecting them to be able to do it for the day.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think it depends on the child, of course. But yeah, I think being, you know, in a park all day and then going to the party, yeah, that's probably asking too much of any kid.
Yeah, and you have to have a very light following day. Don't have a 7 a.m. Chef Mickey reservation, because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
to ask for an adult. I mean, we were exhausted. So I can't imagine having, you know, a little kid like that. That would be really hard. But I agree. Definitely nap during the day and wait it out, because all the lightweights leave after the fireworks. So you can really get a lot in after that 9:30 fireworks show.
And
so
it's
worth it.
I have to say, last year my daughters were 9, and last year was the first year that we actually got to stay until midnight, and they were okay staying till midnight. We rode Space Mountain a million times. Like, we actually got so much done between 10 o'clock and midnight.
Yeah.
It was so much fun, and they actually lasted, and it was the first time. It was different. It was a different experience that way.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm right at midnight, and you could probably stay till 1. We get out of there about midnight.
If you're Chris,
12,
you will.
We get out of there about midnight or 12:30, and then we're on the bus at about 1 a.m., and then you're wiped out. But we're good. We're good right up until about midnight.
Chris will sweet talk an engineer, an Imagineer, and stay till, you know, 2:30, 3.
Oh.
It's hard to get me out of the park. It's true.
Yeah.
So I have a question. And this has come up a lot. What about, we know that Extra Magic Hours, the monorail isn't running. Are
that
we
was
certain,
what I was just going to ask.
Yeah, great minds. Are we certain that the monorail is running during the party? I know the last few weeks it has, it ran up during the Halloween party, but.
I don't, we didn't even look. We did all of our hotel hopping the next day.
Okay.
I don't think I heard it or saw it at midnight, though, when we left.
See, and I'm reading mixed things online.
I'm reading
things from people who went earlier, you know, like November or early in the month, who said it was running, and then people recently were saying it wasn't running. So
that stinks. You know, it almost seems
on volume. How many tickets they sell decides how much traffic they're going to have to move.
Yeah,
I mean, that would kind of explain why it seems, well, you know, on off.
Well, to me, it would make sense that it's not running since their policy is it won't be running for Extra Magic Hours.
Do people do that are in the content? I mean, do you take a bus to the Polynesian?
You can take a boat.
And the Contemporary, the same thing.
You can walk to the Contemporary or take a boat or no, I'm sorry, you can take a bus to the Contemporary or walk, or you can take a boat to the Polynesian or Grand Floridian or bus.
Wait, how funny would it be to actually take a bus to the Contemporary?
That would be pretty funny, considering
it's in the same parking lot.
Uh-huh. Well, it would take you longer.
Yeah, I mean, you're better off walking. But no, I understand. I think we've discussed this on the podcast before when Disney announced this, you know, that they're not going to run the monorail for Extra Magic Hours anymore because of, you know, they need downtime and maintenance and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of irksome if I'm staying at a monorail resort and I'm paying the additional monies. And one of the reasons I'm paying it is for the convenience, and now they don't have it.
Just for the fact that you're paying extra to go to that party, you know, it seems like even people who are just going back to the Magic Kingdom parking lot, you know, get them back as quickly as possible, have the monorail open.
Right. And I think from our experience, Chris and Steve, since we were all in this, yeah, the busing does not work.
It just works awfully slowly.
Yes, it's horribly inefficient. I don't know. I mean, if you are a monorail resort guest and you're going to this party, go with the mindset that the monorail will not be running when you leave the park at midnight, 1 a.m.
And if it is, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Right. Right. No, I mean, that's, you know, set your expectations low. And if, you know, if it works out better for you, then great.
Oh, one more thing. There is a little blurb for the new mobile app. I believe it's through Verizon, but it says stay connected, text snow to D Park to receive the latest information, tips, and updates while you're here. So I did that. It was kind of nice, but it wasn't exactly what I expected. I would have preferred they give more specific information, like Rapunzel and Flynn Rider are in Town Square now until whatever time, but instead it was just very generic things. They were talking about the snow on Main Street. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas on Main Street. Snow flurries are expected, so bundle up. They had a cute little blurb about the Woody's Hooten Holiday open house at Diamond Horseshoe, and then it gave you the parade times and let you know that the characters were leaving at 11:30. That was really it. So it was kind of nice. It was a nice little reminder to come through as a text message because you do lose track of time. But I was kind of disappointed. I would have wished that they had a little more insightful information.
Okay, so that covers the Magic Kingdom. And if you don't go to a Mickey Very Merry Christmas party, is there anything else in the Magic Kingdom just on the normal days after Thanksgiving, November, December?
Absolutely. And you don't even have to wait until Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, because at least in years past, and including this year, the Castle Dream Lights kicked off in early November, and they run nightly. And basically that is a nightly presentation, where Cinderella's castle is decorated in 200,000 lights that make the castle look like ice. There's a cute little stage show that goes along with it, featuring Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, Cinderella, and the fairy godmother. check your times guide, but it normally takes place about 6:15. And then the lights stay on all night with the exception of during the fireworks show, of course. So great photos there, and I think we actually have some up on our Mouse Chat Facebook page if you want to check it out. And then on select nights, they are doing the Magic Memories and You show right before Wishes, but they're doing a holiday overlay to it. So they'll make the castle look like a giant gingerbread house, or they'll make it look like it's covered in candy canes. So there's that. And I think starting after Thanksgiving, Santa will be there as well. So you can, you know, sit on Santa's lap and tell him what you want.
He's a pretty Santa, too.
Is he? Okay. I've never looked at him that closely.
He is.
But yeah, I mean, so don't feel like you have to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party to see the castle dream lights or the holiday decorations. A lot of people think that they won't be able to see the lights without going to the party, and that's just not the case.
What about the holiday parade?
The holiday parade is only for the Very Merry Christmas Party, but after the last Christmas party on December 18th, it runs that last week of December. The exact same parade.
Okay.
Great. So you can see that. Oh, and if you happen to be in the Magic Kingdom in the first weekend of December, the taping for the Christmas show that airs on ABC every year is that weekend. I believe it's they're doing the parade shooting on Friday, and then the entertainers, I believe, on Saturday, and then a makeup day and extra shooting on Sunday. No word yet on tickets anywhere that I can find, but it's, you don't necessarily need a ticket just to stand and watch. You just won't have the best viewing right up close, you know, especially true on Saturday. That Saturday, if you want to see the performers, those people need tickets, and normally once they announce the free tickets, they're gone in a matter of hours.
Well, and last year, they did it a little differently. They only announced free tickets for previous volunteers. So if you were already registered to volunteer with Disney, you could get a ticket, but everyone else just sort of had, you know, a standby kind of thing. They could come in, but they couldn't get a free ticket. They already had to have a ticket.
So, and yeah, like I said, I haven't heard anything yet this year.
Nothing at all.
And it's not that far away.
So I don't know, but yeah, you don't, like I said, you don't need a ticket to see any of the taping. You know, it will be crowded on those days around Main Street, but once you get past that, the crowds tend to thin.
I do have to say that on Sunday last year, after the taping ended, it was pretty packed in the Magic Kingdom. So once the taping ends those days, like, it doesn't really affect the parks until while the taping is going on. And if you're just going into the park that day and you don't want to watch the parade, they'll take you around backstage. And it's pretty easy to get through there. You'll get through there pretty quickly. And then you can get into the park, and it's just the same usual crowd levels. But when the taping ends, it's pretty packed, because all the volunteers head to the back of the park.
I actually got to see part of it once.
Which part? Did you see the floats with the parade?
No, I actually got to see the taping of some of the performers.
Yeah, see, the performers, I think, is better.
David Cook, actually.
Because the floats, people don't realize, you know, because they're filming this and it has to be perfect for television, you know, they're doing multiple shots. So these floats will slowly go down, you know, a little bit down Main Street, and then they'll back them up and redo it. And they'll do it over and over and over again.
And we don't even know who's going to be in it this year, do we? I mean, I haven't heard anyone announced.
No, I haven't heard anything.
No. I think they shot Disneyland segment already a few weeks ago, and I think Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon were out there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't heard anything about tickets, who's going to be in it, so maybe they're just making it a mystery for Christmas.
Maybe they're canceling it this year.
Gasp.
No, because Duffy is riding, you know, with Mickey.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, so, Duffy's riding with Mickey. You must be thrilled, Bob.
I am, and he's wearing a Santa suit, which just fills my heart with joy.
Is he really?
Yes, he's wearing a Santa outfit. So.
You know what you were saying about all Santas being cute?
Yeah, all real Santas are cute. You know, giant radioactive bears in a Santa suit are not cute.
Oh, come on.
That was cruel.
That's a bad job. Bad job.
Sorry.
My poor bear.
Yeah, but yeah, plenty of fun and excitement in the Magic Kingdom, no doubt.
Okay, so let's go from the Magic Kingdom to Epcot. What do they have at Epcot that is special to the holidays? I right off the bat, I think of the big Christmas tree right when you get into the World Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That is very nice. I do miss the, what do they used to call those? Lights of Winter. Oh, those were so nice, but those are gone. But yeah, the Christmas tree is very nice. Epcot's a little bit different because, you know, unlike the other parks, which kick off their holiday celebrations, you know, in early November, because Food and Wine is going on, I think, in part at least, Epcot tends to delay things a little bit, so their holiday events don't really start until Thanksgiving or right after.
It's pretty understated in general anyway, all of their events. I mean, you know, you'll go to the different countries and almost every one of them has some sort of Christmas story, you know, retelling with whoever is sort of Santa for that country, whether it's, you know, Père Noël or Kris Kringle or whatever. You know, telling a Christmas story with a helper. But, you know, other than that, there's not a lot going on at Epcot.
Well, you've got at the American Pavilion, you can meet
and visit Santa.
You can visit Santa over there.
And Mrs. Claus.
And Mrs. Claus. And they have a giant gingerbread house over in the American Pavilion. So you can check that out there. And, yeah, the holidays around the world, like Chris was saying, you can see the telling of Christmas and how other countries celebrate the Christmas holidays. Major attraction in Epcot is the Candlelight Processional, which is
beautiful.
The telling of the Christmas story with a celebrity narrator and a mass choir and an orchestra. And it is very, very beautiful, I would agree, Lauren. But that doesn't start until actually today. The Friday after Thanksgiving is when it starts every year. And runs until, I believe, the last one is New Year's Eve. Or the day before. It might be December 30th. So that is something definitely worth seeing. It is very secular in nature. People ask, well, what's the music like? It's not Jingle Bells and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. It's, you know, All Holy Night and Silent Night.
It's
a little bit
done now.
Yeah, it's a little bit churchy, but I think anybody can appreciate it, regardless of, you know, faith, or even if you aren't a person of faith. I think it's just because it is so well performed,
and it could be very busy too.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. I mean, you know, they offer dinner packages and lunch packages that can get you seating into the event, and it's not a bad idea. Having gone last year been made to wait 3 hours to get in. I totally agree. Plan ahead. Either plan to wait a long time online, or, you know, consider doing one of the dining packages. You know, if you want to see it.
Even if you do have tickets, are you guaranteed a seat?
Tickets for if you do the dining package, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I believe you are.
Yeah,
you are
guaranteed a seat if you do the dining package, yes.
What if you don't do the dining package?
You better line
up. Line.
Yeah.
So you may have a ticket and you may end up standing.
Right. I mean, just because you have a ticket into the park does not mean...
No, not into the park, but...
And I believe the dining packages are two table services now, right?
They are.
Yeah. I guess, well, a girlfriend of mine a couple of years ago... She went down to Disney specifically to do the Candlelight Processional, and she did the dining thing and did the whole route where she was supposed to get in, and it was standing room for her.
Well, I mean, but at least you were, well, then I guess it's more correct to say that you are guaranteed a spot inside
entrance.
Into the theater, open air theater. It may not be sitting down, but I mean, that beats waiting in line for 3 hours and then, you know, getting.
You can also see it. Like, I mean, I've actually stood outside of the theater and been able. You can't see it close up. Yeah, it's not as visual, but.
And last year they were cracking down on that. I wouldn't even suggest that because they were pushing people away. Yeah, they weren't. They were kind of because it causes a bottleneck.
It does,
and which is why and depending on who the celebrity narrator is, that could be when I was there, they were really cracking down on that and not letting people just hang around. I don't know. I think the dining package for the candlelight processional is the way to go. But if you forego that, just show up early and bring a book.
Now, with that candlelight processional package, didn't they also add in the fire guaranteed fireworks viewing spot or something too? I think they added that this year, or was
I think you're right. It's like an illuminations viewing,
like a special spot for the fireworks or something.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure, Lauren.
I think they did.
But yeah, Chris, I would agree with your statement that everything at Epcot tends to be a little more understated than what you find in other parks.
Well, even the decorations. I went over there one night a couple of years ago expecting a lot of lights and everything. And there's not a ton. It's not lit up that much at night with, Christmas lights and everything. It's just very simple.
Do you guys remember, and it was probably not, might have been 2 years ago or maybe it was 3 years ago, Epcot had, when you walked from...
The Lights of Winter. Yeah, mm-hmm. The arches.
Oh, it was so pretty.
Yes.
What happened with that? Does anybody know?
Yeah,
I never heard about that.
The Lights of Winter, which were these giant archways as you walked into World Showcase that were all lit up and gorgeous looking. But yeah, they were old technology. They didn't take advantage of LED technology, and so they were not efficient and cost effective and worn out. So Disney decided to just scrap them.
Oh, it's so pretty! And the way it used to come, I have a picture of it illuminating off the water. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Yeah. So it's still lovely there, but yeah, everything is very subdued at Epcot. As far as decorations and things go. But, the other nice thing about Epcot, I think, is with World Showcase, there's a ton of great Christmas shopping and holiday shopping you can do there. With all those countries, there's lots of different stuff that, great gift ideas you can find and maybe things that you wouldn't find elsewhere.
Let's move to Hollywood Studios. They've got some great stuff over there. What do they have?
The Osborne lights are spectacular.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
They're mind-blowing.
I have to say, that's probably, as much as I love the Magic Kingdom,
me too,
I think that you definitely shouldn't miss Hollywood Studios at Christmas. It's gorgeous. And you can go in the back, and they have like little kiosks where they sell special drinks, that are sort of holiday themed, and some of them are alcoholic and some of them are not. And they have, holiday treats for sale as well. So it's just a fun time to walk around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have the, all those hidden Mickeys in the lights too.
Right.
A lot of fun.
One fun thing is if you go there when they turn it on, of course, that's going to be really crowded. But if you wait about a half hour, it empties out quite a bit and you can kind of enjoy it and walk around and like Lauren said, see the hidden Mickeys and things like that.
Well, and just for people that may not be familiar, the Osborne Spectacle of Dancing Lights is a presentation from the Osborne family of Arkansas where the father had started decorating the house with millions of lights. Well, it started, I think, with a million lights because his daughter one year when she was little asked, she wanted as a Christmas gift their house decorated in a ton of Christmas lights. And the display continued to grow and grow and grow to the point where it really was, ticking off his neighbors, I think, and
right,
kind of getting hard to manage.
Well, they had traffic jams.
Yeah. I actually lived down the road from Jennings Osborne when I lived in Little Rock, and he had one large house, and he had bought the two houses on either side of him as well, and they were all decorated. And even after the lawsuit, I mean, he lived in a very well-off neighborhood, and so you can imagine that his neighbors did not appreciate the fact that thousands of people were lining up and driving through there. And so they actually filed a lawsuit, and he lost, and the city of Little Rock offered to let him light up the riverfront area where they have a marketplace and everything. And he still lit up his house. It just was more understated than it had been.
Right. And, they made him reduce the hours from like 6 to 11 down to 7:30 to 10 or something like that.
Well, and then they donated it to Disney. I don't know when it started. I'm not sure how long it's
been. It was actually 1995.
I was going to say it's 1995, and it used to be done on the back lot. The back lot tour used to be a heck of a lot bigger. If people aren't familiar with that, I mean, there used to be, you know, all those homes from various shows and stuff back there.
Ah,
and
they
used
to all be
Golden Girls, Empty Nest,
and all that has. So all the cars and all the homes and stuff used to be decorated, and you would be able to just do a walking tour through it. When the Lights, Motor, Action stunt show came into Hollywood Studios, the backlot tour had to be downsized, so all those homes kind of went away, and so there was a year where there were no Osborne lights, but then they were brought back, and they're now on the streets of America, and these are the same lights and displays that you know, many of them that you found actually, that Jennings Osborne used on you know, in his display. So there's that, and then what's really nice about them is roughly every 10 minutes, the lights dance to music. So they'll play various Christmas tunes. And, you know, the lights will go dark on the streets, on all the houses. And, you know, a holiday tune will start up like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen from Mannheim Steamroller. And in perfect sequence, will begin to light up and flash and blink. And it's just amazing to stare at.
It's a field day if you have sensory issues when the music starts going and the light starts going. So
yeah, if you're prone to seizures, probably want to look away.
Yeah. Do you know because Mr. Jennings Osborne, he passed away a couple of months ago. Do you know if they did any sort of, did they do
anything
special? Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there on the first day, you know, when they started this. So, I mean, maybe they did that day, but they didn't when I saw it, you know, last week. And again, if you're on Facebook, look up Mouse Chat. I posted a link to a couple videos we shot, and you can see the dancing lights to get an idea of what we're talking about. But no, they didn't do anything. But, you know, then again, the biggest tribute to Jennings Osborne is that the lights continue to be lit up year after year and delight thousands upon thousands of visitors. And I think last year his daughter was there, and she actually turned on the lights, so to speak, one night.
Just so you know, he's not some annoying guy who enjoyed annoying his neighbors. Actually, he was a huge humanitarian and just a nice all around man. So, you know,
and I mean, I was saying before we started recording that, you know, these decorations, all these lights, Disney makes it look effortless.
Yeah,
I mean, they almost, you know, you stand there and you start to think, gosh, I could do this on my house. No, this isn't so bad. I mean,
they say how many hours it takes to do this.
Gosh,
they start in September.
Yes, I mean, it takes them months and months and months to do this. So you can kind of appreciate the dedication that this man had to do this every single year. And, I mean, it's not just lights. I mean, he put up giant – I mean, there are some displays that are huge that are a part of this. There's also, while you're searching for hidden Mickeys, one year, some of his Halloween decorations got caught up in the Christmas decorations. So hidden somewhere among those millions of lights is a black cat.
Cat, yeah.
Among his original Halloween decorations, you know, among all these lights. So, but yeah, I mean, you can go there and listen to the dancing lights, listen to the holiday music, and just take it all in. I mean, these are – and they're lights of every color. I mean, green, blue, red, purple, gold, silver – blue, it's stunning.
I remember going years and years ago when they had maybe they still do it, they had the like 3D glasses they would hand out.
Yes, that was back when they had the
and you go through the backlot
tour and the little angels would dance.
Yeah, and the glasses turned like every light into a little angel, and then they would animate somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if they made the lights dance during when they used to do that. I don't think they did. Yeah, I think that's how it was. But, you know, and like Chris said, I mean, there's holiday treats available. There's drinks available. There are PhotoPass photographers out. So, you know, if you want your picture taken, you know, with the words that say, you know, Merry Christmas behind you and you know, some of the lights, that's possible. The cast members all get into a very festive mood. They're all dancing to the music, and they're all wearing these very cute red and white scarves. So it's just a good time. It's an amazing, amazing thing to see. I mean, even having gone for several years and knowing what to expect, it takes your breath away just seeing it.
Okay, so what about Animal Kingdom? Anything over there?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, because of the animals, you're not going to have fireworks or, you know, millions of lights. It tends to upset the lions and things. And you know, you don't want them eating the gazelles or anything. Well, yeah, that's a much better opening than
you may want to keep the original one.
But Animal Kingdom does get into the spirit of things. I mean, right out front, there is a giant Christmas tree. And, you know, in keeping with the park theme, the ornaments on it are animal themed, of course. And then the afternoon parade, the Jam and Jungle Parade, becomes the Jingle Jungle Parade. So your parade gets a holiday overlay to it, and that usually takes place about 3:45, but check your times guide. And then Camp Minnie Mickey becomes Santa Goofy's Village. And it's a great place to meet characters because I don't think a lot of guests realize that there are characters out there. So you can meet Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, and other various characters, and they are wearing their Santa outfits.
That is going to be it for this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and from iTunes. You can send us your comments and your questions to comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.